We welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live, powered, presented, and everything by PPV.com, the premier place to order pay-per-views. It is Dan Canobio. It is champion, 140 pounds, Chris Algieri, kickboxing champion, former author. Had your book out, The Fighter's Kitchen. Had a friend over.
Nice.
And pulled it out, and was some protein pancakes, some shakes. Really nice book, man.
Serving breakfast to your friends now? Okay. All right, Dan.
Yeah. Two-time author, Chris Algieri. We're going to stop you there. Two-time author, Chris Algieri.
It's funny you said former author. I'm like, well, I mean, it's kind of current. It's still, it doesn't go away.
Is there a third book in the mix? A memoir?
There is. I've got a couple thoughts on books moving forward. Got a few ideas. This is breaking. I wanna write actually like a children's book.
I think you've mentioned this once before. Maybe over drinks and steak, but never on the air.
Right.
Chris Algieri, children's author.
Yeah, I'd like to dabble in that too, and then probably some kind of peeling back the curtain of boxing stuff.
That will have to come way later.
Way later.
Don't burn any bridges.
I'm still building my my ammunition at this point.
Well, yeah, because now you're media man, and you're now understanding. You understand how promoters work. You understand how the fight game works. Now you're going to soon understand, or you're starting to understand how the media game works. It's probably the most ruthless of them all.
Promoters are pretty bad.
Yeah, promoters are pretty shitty.
Pretty bad.
Big chunk of that book. We're gearing up for David Benavidez versus David Morrell. It's going to be presented by PPV.com in unison with Premier Boxing Champions. We are headed out to Las Vegas. Me, Chris Algieri, and the gang. First big fight of the year. So go ahead and order it with us. Join us in the live interactive chat. It has become the place to be on fight night. Yeah, we're less than a week away or around a week away to this fight. I cannot wait for it. Me, Chris, Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire will be in the live interactive chat. No subscriptions. Stream it to your big screen TV, tablet, take it on the run. If you're a fugitive, you can watch it on your phone. You can do anything. You can watch this fight any place, anywhere with PPV.com. We'll be bringing unbelievable content to you all week long. I cannot wait to get out to Vegas. Weird, man, because I remember leaving Vegas for Canelo, and I was like, I need a break from this place. Now I'm like itching to get back.
Yeah, now, that works. Now we're chomping at the bit. That's a drug, man. That's what boxing is all about, man. We're addicted, and it's not a healthy addiction.
Not only that, Chris. Like, yeah, I am addicted to Las Vegas. I am addicted to boxing. This is the first big fight of the year. There's nothing this month. The only thing we got this month are some big time fight announcements, and we're going to get into that on this episode. But this is the first big bona fide, not even a title fight, just a grudge match, a throwback fight. A borderline 50-50 fight, 60-40, maybe for Benavidez. But people are getting excited about this fight, and we've been deprived all of January. We had, what, the Australian guy.
Australian guy.
What is his name? The Australian cruiserweight.
Dan, you're talking about Jai Obatai, but you're talking about how you're addicted to this sport, and
my brain is not functioning fully today. I got horrible sleep from
last weekend. That's all.
It's freezing in New York. I'm not going to use excuses. It's like 10 degrees
you're the best,
here.
Dan, you're the best.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Jai Obatai, I'm trying to get to. It was freezing last night. I didn't get a good night's sleep. It's like something's going on here in New York City. Like this Arctic.
It's cold here in Florida too, and Louisiana.
So it's snowing there.
Dude, there's Louisiana is like blanketed with snow right now.
Our friend Roy Jones posted a video from Pensacola.
Woo!
Snow.
Crazy.
Anyway, so we'll be out in Vegas. I think it's going to be cold in Vegas too, but we'll be having
This time of year, it'll be cold. It'll be cold.
So that is what's going on. Order with PPV.com, our wonderful partners. Let's get into a lot of fights that are being discussed, a lot of fights that are being made, a lot of fights that are being finalized. A lot of fights that are happening with Naoya Inoue on Friday morning and Diego Pacheco on Saturday night. But first, we'll start with a fight in the welterweight division I think is the closest to being made. And that is Jaron Boots Ennis finally gets his unification bout against Emanis Stanionis, April 12th, Boardwalk Hall. Let's go.
Yes.
Atlantic City. Thinking about making the trip, even though I have no real like financial gain of this. It'll just be like just dipping into the funds and going out to AC.
You don't have a horse in the race, but I mean, it's boxing and AC is AC, man.
Like, you know, like
bring back Atlantic City Boxing, man. I used to love going out there.
Dude, that was my childhood is going to Atlantic City as a kid and then going as a teenager and going as a, you know, before I was 21 using fake IDs to go to the place in the Hard Rock or the other place, the French Quarter. I'm doing it again. Don't know the name of the bar. Anyway, and then going as an adult, as a fight fan. So some unbelievable fights there. And I love this. They're doing it at the Boardwalk Hall, too, because for a while they were doing a lot of fights at the Ocean Resort. Well, but this is a fight that belongs at Boardwalk Hall because Boots is from Philly. So mm-hmm. Philly fans will come. Love that aspect of it, Chris. Most importantly, this Boots gets his unification bout because we were talking a while back, Boots getting dragged. For turning down the Virgil fight for two, you know, lackluster performances. And he turned down the Virgil fight because he was assured that he was going to get a unification bout at 147. He gets it in Stanionis, who arguably is the second best welterweight in the world right now in a very weak division. Like the fight. Don't see anything wrong with the fight. If it leads to bigger wins for Boots, even better.
I love this fight, and this is a fight that we've been talking about for a long time. I think it's number one and number two in the welterweight division. Yeah, you said that it is a pretty weak division, but both of these guys are super solid. And Stanionis, I think, doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I think he's a lot better than we've even seen, and this is going to be his opportunity to really show what he's got. And he's fighting, hands down, the best guy in the division at welterweight. But yeah, it's the best fight that can be made at welterweight right now, and we're getting it first. So I'm all for it.
Want me to pour some cold water on this fight?
Please don't.
I am going to.
Why you got to play with my heartstrings, bro? Why you got to play my heartstrings?
Stanionis won fight since 2022. It did come last year against Gabriel Mastre, who, I mean, come on, that's a Stanionis. I just don't know what you said. 1-2. I agree. Stanionis definitely is number two. Division is cleared out. It's not our dad's welterweight division. It's not our grandpa's welterweight division.
Nope.
But I just hope Stanionis is fresh. I hope that he is at his best.
Well, he's definitely going to be fresh because he hasn't been busy.
Ring rust.
He might be a little ring stale. Rust.
Stale. I don't want stale. I want fresh. Fresh, yeah. Stanionis. And just to go back to the whole questioning Boots and everything. Boots at 154 versus a top 10 154 pounder. So let's just say it wasn't Virgil. Didn't want to jump into those waters just yet. Say he fights like another guy, Madrimov or Boachuk, someone of that ilk. Isn't that a bigger fight than Stanionis at 147? Of a weight that he said that he's not no longer comfortable at? Stanionis, not a household name. Just talking from the business side of things. No, I understand. You guys want to unify.
Yeah, from a profile aspect, no, it's not. It's not the biggest fight that can be made right now, or even the biggest fight that's been talked about for Jerron Ennis. But for boxing heads like us, this is a matchup that we've wanted for a while.
But does like the whole, all right, he's dead set on unifying, right? Like that's his main goal. Admirable. But sometimes I feel like, you know, like you don't have to play that game. Just go for the biggest fights. You've been wasting your whole career is wasting time. But we're still going to get a good fight. There's no one really out there for him to fight at 154 just yet. So if this leads to bigger fights, like I kind of teased there, then so be it, because our guy Turkey wants to somehow put Boots versus Teofimo at 147 and the winners face Ryan Haney, which is a grandiose plan by Turkey because he loves these grandiose plans. He loves making fights before they're actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are big money fights. Those are huge profile fights, different than this fight. And I think there'll be a lot of buzz around those. Those are massive fights. So yeah, the winner gets that. I mean, that's we're talking about true meritocracy, which is very difficult to find in boxing. You win, you get the money shot. Let's go.
It's not really meritocracy more than it's just like this new world we're living in with Turkey, and never in our wildest dreams would we ever think, oh, let's do a Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, Boots, Ennis, Teofimo tournament. Like,
well, no, literally in our wildest dreams, we would have that. Now it's actually a reality. Now it's not just dreaming. It's not just a pipe dream. It can actually happen because Turkey is dishing out the paychecks to make these things occur.
Nuts, man. I like this fight April 12th. So the boxing schedule, January kind of sucks.
Check my calendar. April 12th. 12th. Maybe yeah, I'll take the trip up.
I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to be warm. It's going to feel nice on the boardwalk. You know, maybe stay at the Ocean Resort. head down to fight night, you know, not have to do, I'll do content if I go, but like not have to be like so bogged down by it. I'm thinking about going. I'll just bring back some nostalgia. Then again, like that drive to AC is pretty rough.
Nothing
was worse than the drive home.
Well, if I do go, then I'll drive and we'll drive. I will fly up and we'll drive down together.
You drive.
Because I'm not going to fly into. I'm not letting you drive.
Where did they fly into back in the day? Like when the AC was Vegas and, you know, like the biggest fight, Tyson fights and heavyweight fights. Like,
I mean,
they were touching down in AC.
They do have an airport over there. Small.
Wow. But that drive home from Atlantic City, you remember those on Sunday morning? Hungover.
Oh, dude, I used to do it that night. Me and my brother.
Oh, yeah.
We would drive down. We'd watch.
I did that once too.
We'd eat dinner. We'd watch the fight. And then we'd just jump right in the car and drive right back home. Savage.
I would do the Sunday morning. And if you leave
up in AC on Sunday, it's just
brutal.
That hurt my soul. I never wanted to do that.
And especially, like, think about it now. Like, back then, it was still, like, a vibrant city. Like, I was there, I would say, a year ago doing some stuff for John Boy, like, in DraftKings.
Not a lot going on.
Bro, it is so grim there now. It is so grim.
That's a good word.
It is freaking grim. And
no offense, in the car. No offense, AC people. I don't know if you guys listen to us. But
I don't think there's anyone from Atlantic City listening. I hope so. But I'm just happy that we got some business coming into town April 12th for a really good unification bout, and Boots should win that. And we talk about this.
We could do content the whole way down. We'll do like the chronicles of Atlantic City fight weekend.
Atlantic City stories. I have a lot of them. So yeah, there's this mythical tournament at 147 that Turkey is talking about, because a big story over the last 10 days in boxing has been this card that we're going to get in May featuring Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. They're not fighting each other. They're fighting tune-ups. But these are fun tune-ups. Ryan Garcia told everyone, I'm going to be fighting Pitbull Cruz on May whatever in New York. It's a tougher fight than Haney, who's fighting Jose Ramirez. Turns out he's not fighting Pitbull Cruz. So sometime in early May, Ryan Garcia will be fighting Rolly Romero, and Devin Haney will be fighting Jose Ramirez. Martin Bacoli's also on the card against F.A. Ajagba. There's talks of it going down in Times Square, New York City. It is a lot to unpack. We'll start with Ryan and Rolly, Chris. A fight that we were clamoring for about a year ago. Finally getting it. Coming off Rolly getting absolutely destroyed by Pitbull, and Ryan and his whole saga. I don't know, man. I really this is going to be fun. Like, yeah, I don't know how competitive it will be, but Ryan versus Rolly.
In Rolly's defense, he's come back with a victory. He's actually come back. He won a fight his last
fight.
He did? So, yes, he came back with he fought an Intercard. I think it was the Canelo fight.
I think.
He's got a victory. Nondescript opponent and wasn't a fantastic performance, but whatever, got the win. So he's not coming off of a loss. And we know where Ryan's coming from. But listen, the build up to this fight, man, woo-wee, this is going to be fun. Those two are going to be going back and forth. Rolly is the best worst trash talker in history, or worst best. How would you put it? He's bad at it. But
he's definitely bad. He's so bad at it that it's good.
He's so bad at it that it's good. It's very entertaining. Ryan is shown himself to be a pretty damn good trash talker. He makes you laugh too. So both of them are cutting, but also funny. So the lead up is going to be great. The fight, I think, is going to be pretty ugly, but somebody's getting knocked out. Put it that way.
The build up is going to be unbelievable. Throwing Haney too. So we have this like triangle offense that's going to be running. We have Ryan and Haney are going to be going.
That press conference dais is going to be electric. Yeah.
Who's going to be hosting that?
Who's throwing barbs where in every direction?
It's a triangle offense. So like Haney and Ryan are going to be trash talking each other, because I think by that point the lawsuit will be over and they can kind of just talk. And then you have Rolly kind of playing it in the, he could be playing it in the middle kind of. Ryan could potentially be trash talking Haney and Rolly at the same time. And it's just going to be pretty much some wild scenes in terms
of Ramirez, pressure. Who's not much of a trash talker at all, is very respectful.
He's sitting there like,
he's going to be sitting on his hands.
I'm happy to be here. I'm coming off of a lackluster performance to Barboza. I can't believe I got this call. He says, Ramirez says he's been waiting to fight Jose Ramirez his whole life, Haney his whole life, which I just was like, what?
Haney's been clamoring to fight.
Jose Ramirez said, I've been waiting for Devin Haney my whole career. I was like,
I don't think I believe that.
That sounds kind of weird.
That sounds like in the moment marketing. Ramirez has had a great career, long before Haney was really on the map. So it's an interesting way to put it.
But get to that one in a second. Back to Ryan Rowley as the actual fight. It's so funny what happened in a course of a year in boxing, course of 6 months, how things can change so much. A year ago, Ryan's coming off of the Duarte fight. He's coming off of the Philly shell. They looked like horrible. We didn't know his commitment level. We didn't know his mental level. We still don't know his mental level. And Rowley was Rowley. But a lot of people was like saying, like, you know, Ryan Rowley is a pretty competitive fight a year ago. But it's amazing what can change. Rowley obviously gets steamrolled by Pitbull. Ryan has the great performance versus Haney with a ton of asterisks. Like, I don't think it's an absolute blowout because I still think Ryan is a question mark. Like, I'm not ready to say he's a bona fide contender yet. And Rowley at 147, maybe, you know, doesn't have to boil down to 140, has got great power. He doesn't really have a lot of the technical stuff, Chris, but great power. Like, I'm not ready to say, like, Ryan's going to blow him out.
The issue for me is the weight. The fact that it's a 47, Rowley's small. Like, he's just moved up to, he's not even a good size 40 pounder, and he's going to go up to 47. That's going to be the big difference. And you talk about Rowley's power. Rowley's power has not shown itself at 140. He's had it at 135. True. But even at 35, when he stepped up in class, he wasn't knocking guys out the way he was on his way up. But he's a very unpredictable style. They both are. And so they're athletic, they're explosive. They're physically strong. So it's an entertaining fight with a lot of question marks. But for me, I mean, Ryan has way more experience at the higher level, definitely bigger, and the speed, right? You know, it's always the speed with Ryan.
Yeah, the speed. Like, Ryan's going to be the favorite. Let's not get it twisted here. And, you know, I think he's a different person now from everything I'm seeing. But then again, question mark. But I like the fight. Like, in terms of
that's a good comeback fight for Ryan. It's a very good comeback fight.
In terms of interim fights, like, we've seen this in boxing all the time, the marination, we're going to put two fighters on the same card, we're going to, you know, do some interim fights, and they usually are
awful. Love that, as long as everybody wins.
Of course. But, like, remember some of these names? Like, in the past, we would see Ryan versus a nondescript 140-pounder, someone we've never heard of, or just to get to the Haney fight and take zero risk of it potentially happening. There is some risk that Ryan could lose to Rowley. I know it's not Pitbull. I think they dangled Pitbull in there, and a very interesting line from Pitbull for why he chose not to fight Ryan Garcia. Thought it would be bad luck.
Interesting article that was on Boxing Scene in regards to into that. It was bad luck and disrespectful, you know, and he didn't want to take his focus away from the fight at hand. Which I can understand, I guess, but it's pretty rare for a fighter to say that, especially when there's a big payday attached to making that next fight. And you're already getting paid for this one, and then you got another payday right behind it against a massive fight.
Bro,
you know, I don't know. It's an interesting way to go about it.
Especially someone like Pitbull, who his entire MO, his entire existence for a while was, I want Gervonta Davis rematch. I want Ryan Garcia. I only want big fights.
But that's in line with how he moves, though. He spends time not taking fights because he's looking for something else.
I guess he knows that something else
could be out. He passes opportunities by, yeah.
I just a head scratcher because, you know, he's expected to beat Angel Ferreira. But
not an easy fight, though. Not an easy fight.
He said bad. It would be bad luck to take this fight with Ryan Garcia. You know, kudos to him because it's probably a nice paycheck. And I guess he believes I'll always be in the mix, maybe for a tank rematch, maybe someone with PBC. So that's that. Like to fight Ryan and Rowley. Ryan should win. Interim fight. As far as interim fight goes, I saw some people complaining about Ryan versus Rowley, and I'm like, really? Like, it's a placeholder fight. This is fun. Like, are we forgetting some of these horrible interim fights that we've gotten in the past?
Yeah, no, this is a lot of fun. And we said that from the top. People are just always going to complain, but
that's what I'm learning. I
think that regardless whether you like the actual matchup when they're in the ring, it's going to be a lot of fun on the way there. And somebody's getting knocked out. How about that too? Like, these guys are not.
Someone's getting plastered.
Yeah, someone's getting knocked out.
Someone's getting knocked out. Probably gonna be Rowley. Rowley's like a changed man too. I don't know if you caught some of his interviews. He's kind of speaking a different tune. has taken some time out of like being crazy Rolly Romero. And Haney,
I was talking to our man Brad Goodman. He loves Rolly. Like you just said, he had dinner last time I was really? In Vegas. Yeah, I was in Vegas talking to him. Talking about some strange bedfellows. And he was talking about Rollies, and he loves him. He's like, I just had dinner with him. He's like, listen, he's a really smart kid, and blah blah. I'm like, you know, honestly, the way he markets himself, I can see that. He's crazy like a fox, apparently.
I mean, he just had a lot to learn. I mean, he was pretty young and kind of burst onto the scene early. Got that tank fight when he probably wasn't ready for it, and like in the ring, out of the ring. So we'll see. We'll see if we'll get like this new Rolly and this new Ryan, or like, you know, old habits will come out on that dais or the media. It's for Haney and Jose Ramirez. I don't know. What do you think Jose Ramirez has left? Because I don't think much. The Barboza fight was super frustrating and pretty disappointing. I just feel like he has that one gear and he never really gets into second gear, especially this part of his career. Just awesome career. Don't get me wrong. It was phenomenal at 140.
Very impressive career. Did a lot.
But at 147 now, Haney at 147, we haven't seen that. This is like a kind of a sneaky, tough fight for Haney, or how are you feeling about Jose Ramirez at this point?
I don't think so. I think what we saw in that fight for Ramirez was his legs aren't there. He was getting outmaneuvered, outboxed by someone that I don't think if they fought in their primes that Barboza would have any, couldn't even hang with Ramirez at all. But you could see Ramirez had no legs, and his corner, Barboza's corner, was yelling that his legs are gone. Go get him, which he didn't do. But I think that off the tail of that fight, watching that, Team Haney was like, all right, this is shooting fish in a barrel, which unfortunate for Ramirez, it probably will be. Unless he was really hurting himself to make 140, because he's an older guy. He's had a long career at 140. He is tall for the weight class, a big 40-pounder. So maybe he was up to 47. Those legs come back a little bit, but we'll see.
As for Haney, first fight at 147, you know, we're just rifling through weight classes now.
I think it's a good fight for him also, because you got a guy in Ramirez, like you said, he's kind of got his gear. He's not like the super fast guy. He's not this really tricky guy. He's going to be there. He can be outboxed. He got outboxed by Barboza. And that's what Andy does. So he's going to have the opportunity to find his rhythm with a guy who isn't super fast or tricky.
Once again, damn good interim fight. Mm-hmm. Like, what's Ramirez's name?
Ramirez is a big name, you know. Former world champion at 140, had some big fights there. Only has two losses. It's not like we're looking at some washed up guy with a bunch of losses.
Just the way he lost to Barboza, I was like,
yeah,
oh man,
yeah.
He had that. That was for the take. Like that, it wasn't like it was up in the air towards the end.
It was, and he couldn't get those legs to fire properly. He couldn't explode the way that he used to. He used to close the distance great. He did not have that night.
Yeah, remember that fight with Hooker?
Oof, I was there. I was there. I was supposed to. I was the number one contender. I was the number one contender for.
I remember Hooker. That. I remember reading you were going to fight Hooker.
Yeah, I was. I knocked out Tommy Coyle for the title eliminator to get that WBO shot for Hooker, which was my former belt. And then I went to that fight hoping that Hooker was going to win, because then I was the next in line. But then obviously Ramirez knocks him out. And Ramirez had the WBC, I believe, and he had to defend against Postol first, which got pushed back because of the pandemic, which ended up happening like a year and a half later. So then it was too much time had passed.
Damn,
I lost. Hooker my opportunity for a second world title shot.
That's how it goes, man. Just like that, Hooker was a flash in the pan, like a burning, what's that called? A star,
like a burning ember, like a.
Yeah,
there was talks about him and I fighting for so long, and I was like, oh, please give me this guy.
Same height, right?
Such a perfect fight for me. I think he's actually a little bit taller, although I've never met him. I don't know.
He kind of just would throw caution to the wind and just kind of fight.
Just swing.
Swing. Like, not really like, I have a game plan, throw it out the window first round. But you would have stayed on the game and boxed his ears off.
In, out, body.
Win.
That long torso. Oof.
Just win, baby.
That would have been my way to get my second world title, man. Unfortunately,
things would have been different. You probably wouldn't have been on the show. Couldn't afford you.
I don't think so. I don't know if that's true. I was old either way.
True. On this May card, real out of nowhere, but I love it. Martin Bacoli, F.A. Ajagba, like the battle for Africa in Times Square. Like Martin Bacoli, I need to talk to this guy. Once again, if I'm not affiliated with this show, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to talk to these fighters. Bacoli in New York City.
Bacoli awesome. Just looks fun. He looks like a fun guy. There's videos of him dancing, doing his Nigerian dance. He's Nigerian, right? Is that what he? Yeah. Am I making this up? Okay. He's dancing. He's always smiling. He's a big jovial guy. I'm happy to see him back and getting into big fights.
He's only 31. He's from the Congo.
He's only Congo. Wow.
But he resides in Scotland.
Wow, that's all.
Man of the people.
Yeah. He wears the trunks. He's
just like the fun guy on the scene now that a lot of fight fans knew of him, but he wasn't getting like the opportunities that he's getting now or the shine.
Congo.
But now,
oh, man.
That's why, this is going to be like one of the bigger cards of the year in terms of like eyeballs, because you got Haney, you got Ryan Garcia, you know, it's this the first Ring Magazine show. So Bacoli, I think, is going to open up the card unless they add a fourth. Right now, they only have three.
What does
fights.
That mean? What does a Ring Magazine show mean?
Good question.
Are we crossing sides in ways you're not supposed to? Because, you know,
like conflicts of interest.
Yeah. I'm thinking like this is a, you know, the Ring Magazine is a media entity. Why were we getting into promotions? Why are we having cars?
It's now I think it's a way for Turkey like to not like enforce him, put himself so much in the middle of it. Well, he'll just say, oh, it's now a Ring Magazine card, or Ring Magazine has learned, or Ring Magazine this, Ring Magazine. They're pumping a ton of money into Ring Magazine, which is great. But like this magazine was like, magazines just don't do good anymore. Like, none of these sites really do. Boxing Scene does really well because of, it's just like right to the point. Here's a headline. Mm-hmm. Like Ring Magazine was failing. And then Turkey came along. But yeah, I know it's weird. It's called a Ring Magazine card. Like it's not a Matchroom card.
That means.
And it's also like in unison with some movie, like some new movie that's coming out, which is
I thought it was another... a video game. Is it a movie?
Like, I haven't paid too much attention to all that crap. Like, I'm just like looking at the card, but like, yeah, I am also keeping an eye on like what this all means from Ring Magazine. Like, we're seeing a lot of reporting coming from Ring Magazine. They bought that guy Michael Benson and his Twitter account to be like a media arm of Turkey's. I'm trying to see like what the name of that. It's either a movie or a video game being like discussed. Like that's going to be like the whole sponsor. So I don't even know. I can't even make sense of it. But I like Bacoli Ajagba.
I do too. And I've called a bunch of Ajagba's fights for Top Rank. Interviewed him a bunch of times. He's another interesting guy. Man, he if you're like, he looks like a bad guy from a Bond movie. He's just like this
Ajagba?
Big, yeah, big, mean, stern faced guy. But man, he's got a right hand. He's like he's kind of like a poor man's Wilder. Like he's tall, he's long. He can really crack with that right hand if he catches you on the end of the shot. So that fight could be interesting. It's just, I don't know. I think Bacoli is a really bad dude. So that's a tough fight.
Yeah, five straight wins for Ajagba since the Frank Sanchez loss. I just think Bacoli is just too much right now. He's close to 300 pounds. He'll be able to bully.
Oof, man.
I don't know if he's going to be that big on fight night, but like Ajagba is 6'6". How much would you say he is? Like 230?
I think he's in 230, 240 range,
okay.
I believe.
But even if Bacoli's like 260, like that's a big difference. And Bacoli's just too much right now. I think he's got all the momentum.
We're literally calling him the second coming of George Foreman at this point. So,
well,
yeah,
I'm not. Some people are. Not.
Yeah, some people are. But
I don't know. Like this card, May something. Could be May 12th after Canelo. Times Square.
Interesting.
I don't know how they pull that off.
Yeah, like, what's the venue there?
Like, you know that, like, I don't know when's the last time you've been in Times Square, but they have that, like, kind of like an amp. It's the worst place in the world.
I try to avoid Times Square as much as every New Yorker does.
Anytime I've ended up in Times Square, it's always been, like, on accident or, like, a work event or, like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm in Times Square. They have, like, a little, like, amphitheater thing. Like, I don't know what it's even used for. My dad sent me a picture of a college wrestling like tournament they did in Times Square once.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It looked
actually
pretty cool, but it wasn't like a big event. Like, you can't fit a ton of, like, this is an event that would do 15,000 in an arena, like Barclays, MSG. You know, if you want to get like sexy with it. Like, they have a ton of money. Like, they can throw money at Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is where the U.S. Open is played every year, which I would love to see a boxing event there. It's one of the coolest stadiums. It's got a retractable roof. You could throw enough money at them, because I know that the tennis, they don't do anything at that tennis stadium besides the U.S. Open, which is 3 weeks in late September or early August, late August, early September. They don't want any event. I know AEW did one wrestling event there, because they just don't want to associate with anything other than tennis, but that would be pretty cool. I don't understand Times Square.
I love the U.S. Open. That's a good event. We should start a podcast, Inside Tennis Live, with Chris and Dan.
I went to it last year for the first time.
I went a couple years ago. It's awesome.
Crazy expensive.
Yes. yes.
Oh
it
my
is.
God. It's like yes. A lot. I sat like I had pretty like I was put up there and I paid a pretty penny. I got one of those drinks, the Honeydew, $24.
Yeah, that sounds all right. A Heineken's like $18.
It was insanely packed because I went on Sunday night of Labor Day, which apparently is like the tourist night, yeah. Like amateur hour day.
Well, yeah, that's why you were there. That makes
right.
sense.
And I went for the night session because I wanted to go to the best one. I'm looking at this picture my dad sent me of the Times Square. It's a small crowd there. This is college wrestling. It's not the biggest events. Like Ryan Haney and all these names, Barclays. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like Times Square
Barclays
will look cool.
Such a great arena too. I love Barclays.
So maybe it will end up there. So a lot of things change with the.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wouldn't be exactly sure where this thing is gonna end up. Things that are being said, being thrown around. Listen, I'm actually looking at Efe Ajagba's record. His last four fights, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean he got up off the mat against Sanchez.
He beat 18-0 Stephen Shaw. He beat
the Guido fight was impressive.
The Guido fight is especially in hindsight because Guido's been looking fantastic. Yeah. He's turned a leaf. Speaking of tennis, he's a former tennis player. Is Guido Vianello
really
our fellow Paisan? Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, 6'6".
Yeah, he was like a high level tennis player in Italy.
Why the hell would he go into boxing?
I don't know, but it's he's a really athletic guy, you know, nice. Being as big as he is. And he's a guy who's been getting better and better, but I digress.
Nice. Another name in this intertwine, Teofimo Lopez, is now looking at Richardson Hitchens in a unification bout, 140 pounds. Kind of came out of nowhere. Teofimo is now signed with Keith Connolly, your former manager and all-around good guy, friend of the show, friend of ours, mm-hmm. who is known for making big fights. He is also aligned with Richardson Hitchens, Conley. So do the math. Teofimo
Conley
versus
gets deals done. That's
he's
what
a deal
he
maker.
Does.
Look at him. Looks like Gordon Gekko, this guy. I mean, he's got the blue suit. He's got the slick hair. He just makes these fights happen.
He's got the pocket square.
I would love if I was a boxer, I would love for him to be my manager. I was thinking about calling him to help me get some gigs in the media world because he says he does that too.
Oh, really?
I'm going to give him a call. But Teofimo Lopez versus Richardson Hitchens looks like it's going to happen at 140 pounds. Teofimo has said, no, I don't want to fight Subriel Matias. I don't want to fight it on ESPN pay-per-view. I don't want to fight in Vegas. I want to fight Hitchens in New York.
Did he want to fight in L.A. last time, which no fighter ever asked for, and now he wants to fight in New York, which also no fighter asked for? Because, guys, taxes.
Teofimo says, I want to be taxed the most.
How much? Where's there the most taxes? California? There, I want to fight. Wait, where's the next most? New York? Get me the fight there.
Well, the latest is Teofimo wants to fight Hitchens, and I was questioning this. I was going to tweet it out, but I figured I would say it here on the podcast. Hitchens is another unification bout. We're all about unifications, even though some of them don't really make sense. Teofimo versus Matias, is that a bigger fight than Teofimo versus Hitchens?
No. Because
you think Hitchens is bigger?
Yeah, it's a title fight. It's a unification, 100%.
I don't know, man. A lot of people know who Matias is. I think it would be a better fight, Teofimo versus Matias.
It's definitely a better fight.
Belt.
Definitely a better fight.
Hitchens can Hitchens can beat Teofimo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very difficult style.
Isn't that Teofimo's kryptonite?
Doesn't make the funnest fights either. So it's like you're taking a risk of fighting a guy that's difficult to deal with and is hard to look good against and also might beat you. But there's a title. So you get to unify the titles, which I guess is where they're going for. But again,
he's not staying at 140.
I'll believe this when they're walking to the ring. Because otherwise with Teofimo Lopez, what are we talking about? 2 weeks ago, right. Matias was like a done deal. So...
This is why I have it very low on the list. I went from fights that I think are going to happen.
You did preface that. You did She did say that. So,
I don't know. Like, it seems like this is the plan. The plan for Teofimo says he has this master plan. Teofimo's master plan involves fighting Richardson Hitchens in a unification bout, probably in New York City. He wins that, then he jumps up to 147 and fights Boots Ennis. If he wins that, he fights the winner of Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. That's the grand master plan that Turkey currently has. It's a lot of ifs, but man, that could be really fun if it comes that true.
And those are the dollar signs that Teofimo has been chasing for his whole career, all those fights. But you got to get past it. His next fight's a tough fight. It's a very, very slippery slope, depending on who he fights. Either one of those guys are banana peels. You got to get past this one to get the next one. But that's always how boxing is, right? Oh, I make more money the next one. You got to win this one first, though.
Well, that's why I was questioning, what is the hitch? If you have, this Boots fight, I know he doesn't have it lined up, but this is the plan. And Turkey's telling you this is the plan, which, and it's pretty good to hear that from Turkey if you're a fighter.
But if you don't care to unify the entire division, why does it matter to get one more belt?
That's what I mean. Like, why not just fight Matias, who's tailor-made for you?
Yeah.
Is a name. You won't get the Hitchens fight doesn't make sense to me. I want to see it, but as Teofimo fancies himself as his businessman. It's admirable going to Hitchens because that's a tough fight. And no one's really clamoring for it, especially when you say you're going to 147 and you have Boots waiting for you, or you have Ryan Garcia and you have Devin Haney. Like, I don't know, weird move. But Conley's now in his corner, and I don't think Conley's going to talk him out of fighting Hitchens because that's a double payday for him. But
and he wins either way. 140 is starting to become pretty wide open. You've got Ryo Valenzuela, you've got Richardson Hitchens, you've got Tio, who's looking to get out anyway. There's going to be opportunities for these younger guys, the Hitchens and the Ryos of the world, to step in and take over.
Did you see?
Or even Matias? Maybe Matias can mount a comeback.
Someone's going to pick up the scraps at 140.
Yeah,
because Hitchens now, the guy wins the title and he thinks he's going to fight Devin Haney. He thinks he's going to fight this, that, and the other, and he's like, everyone's leaving because
right. That's what I mean. he's going to be left there. But okay, so go pick up those titles. You're not going to get the bag, but maybe. No, you can later on.
Speaking of Ryo, he is fighting Gary Antoine Russell, March 1st.
Can we stop these guys getting title fights off of losses? Wasn't that a rule at some point somewhere along the way that you
makes
can't
sense.
Get a title fight? Especially in the same weight class. It's not like he's moving into a different weight. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I like the fight. I mean, I think it's...
Yeah, good fight.
Strip away that stuff. I mean... Ryo should be fighting...
What's going on with Puello?
He's fighting Sandor Martin on the same card.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's a good card, man.
That's two guys nobody really wants to fight. Those are two really tough styles, Sandor and
I don't know if it's going to be an exciting fight.
No, it won't be.
Visibly. but that's a good card with Tank Roach at the top. And we'll see Venezuela versus Gary Russell, which will be a shootout. And then... Maybe get Puello Sandor Martin, which is title fight.
Venezuela's never in a bad fight.
Exactly. Guy's awesome.
His fights are great.
There was some talk of maybe Tank going up to 140 and potentially fighting Ryo should he win.
I could see that. We talked about that, before. We gotta see how this plays out.
Discussion for another day. Errol Spence will not be fighting Sebastian Fundora. Pulls out of the fight, says, I will be back when I'm ready, says Spence. This was a saga for close to a year now.
Yeah.
March.
Up on a year.
March is when Spence got into the ring after Fundora beat Zoo. Fundora has sat out for a year, which I don't think is the worst thing, considering the type of fight that he was in, the knockout that he suffered to Mendoza. But now Sebastian Fundora will be fighting Chordale Booker, who I happen to like as a person.
Yeah, Chordale's great.
I remember doing a story on him years ago. His mom got into boxing as a way to get closer to her son. I thought that was one of the coolest stories ever. At the very beginning of this show, I would do something at the end of the show called the Good Hook of the Week. It was highlighting the positive.
So lame.
Highlighting the positives in boxing. Because I would say this sport is nothing but negatives. It could really drag you down. So I'm going to find one good story a week. I'm going to tell you what, it's really hard to find good stories. It was really hard to find these feel-good stories. But Chordale Booker was one of them. He teaching his mom how to box. His mom and him didn't have the greatest relationship growing up. She wanted to get closer to her son. She's trained. I think she actually got into. She did a fight. A sanctioned fight in Connecticut.
Wow.
It's all coming back to me.
An amateur fight.
I want to say it was like a pro fight.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
That's cool.
Booker.
No, Cordell's cool, man. He's good people. It's just really interesting when you've got a weight class as deep as 154 and you got a unified champion. And that's.
It makes no sense.
That's the opponent that comes up.
He's top 15 in the WBO. Gustavo Oliveira, who's now the head of the WBO, did not want Spence. And I as much as I wanted to see Spence versus Fundora, they were not going to have the WBO title on the line because Oliveira was like, hey, we have rules.
Right.
You can't just come into this division for the first time. You're not ranked in the division. You haven't fought in a year and you lost by TKO when the last time you fight. So we're not putting our title on the line. Chardo Booker's in the top 15 at 154 in the WBO. So you know, it's a voluntary defense, which Fundora is allowed. It'll be on regular Amazon, not pay-per-view, sometime in March.
There should be a rule about that, too. If you have been inactive, you should not get a voluntary defense. You haven't fought in a year, and you're going to get
Fundora?
Yes. I don't like that. You get a voluntary defense, and you've been off for a year?
That's true. But
you got people waiting in line, guys. You got two belts. You can't.
It's also like the best division in boxing, right?
Right. It's the best deepest division with like supremely talented contenders in your top 10. Literally, it's the deepest division in the sport. And you've been out of the ring for 9 months, and you're getting a voluntary defense when there's guys who are chomping at the bit to be world champion. You got two belts. I don't like it.
What I think they'll do is they missed out on a year of money. Fundora. Like I think he would have been ready to fight. Maybe end of last year, early this year.
Well, he's getting strung along by Spence. And
that, right. That's that a lot of money that he just lost. So, like, all right, let's get a payday on a voluntary defense, and then let's see where the chips fall at 154 and then get into a big fight, which I expect. But I found the article. Mother of Chardell Booker tries walking in her son's shoes to get closer. From October 10th, 2017, Cheryl Morrison. Settled in. I'm going to say, was it a regular? Where is it? Pretty cool story. That's how I remember him. But he's kind of been like chomping at the bit too, Chardo. I see him on Twitter because I still follow him. Like he wanted Spence. It was so funny. He tweeted like, "Errol Spence, come see me." And Spence just wrote back, "Dude, I like you a lot, but I'm probably not going to fight you. So just don't waste your time." The truth, Errol Spence. The truth.
Yeah, the truth. Like, I mean, he's the most direct. He's the most direct Twitter follow in boxing.
He's like, listen, buddy, don't waste your time. Like, we're never going to fight, but I respect that you're trying. So Chardell Booker gets a shot against Fundora. That's a fight that's been talked about. So that's like the portion of this show where we are just going through fights that probably will happen, might happen, are happening. A lot of that. It wasn't a great month for actual fights, but damn, did we get a lot of chatter, and damn, did we get a lot of planning. And starting Friday morning, because I'm going to count in a way as must-watch TV. Starting Friday morning, straight through the rest of the year. Buckle up. You ready, Chris?
Yeah, I've got a lot of points this year on travel points. A lot of points, a lot of Hilton honors, a lot of Marriott Bonvoy awards points coming this year. I got.
Can you consolidate those?
Which?
Isn't there a way to, like, I thought I read this somewhere where you can...
Your hotel points?
Yeah.
Even from separate chains?
I read that there was some type of pro... They were trying to do that, which I think would be awesome.
We should contact the points guys, see if we can get
bring them together.
We could turn this into a travel podcast as well, guys. You know,
that'd be sweet.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be all over. And every weekend where I'm not doing a pro box show, I'm doing something with you or Top Rank. So I'm going to be living out of a bag.
Yeah, so fight fans, when we're traveling all over the world, that means that there's a lot of fights happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Let's talk about Inoue. Naoya Inoue fights on Friday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern. Not against Sam Goodman. Suffered a nasty cut twice. Cut reopened. He goes to the back of the line now. You're out.
It's funny. Remember I said, I'm like, that's not a lot of time. That's They were bringing that fight back way too, you know, with a cut, and you got to spar. I mean...
Listen, I think Inoue's team was like, listen, bro, like you cut once, okay, we'll give you a month. If you can make it to fight night, you'll fight Inoue. If not, we have Yi Jun Kim, who was always the replacement once Goodman got cut. And the cut reopened, Goodman's out, sucks for him. I wanted to see that fight because I thought it was going to be
fun. Sucks for us, too, because that was a good... good fight. I wanted to see stylistically how they matched up. That was
right. Goodman is like a punching machine. And yeah, he comes forward.
He's a good boxer. He's tough. It would have been fun.
Yi Jun Kim, step on up. Some sports books have him as a 22-1 underdog in a way by stoppage, -1600.
Oh, he's from South Korea. His nickname is Troublemaker / Pack You Weather. Never heard that. Pack You Weather.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm at his boxwork right now. Pack You Weather.
Excellent. Pack
so, was he saying he's like a hybrid of Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather?
I mean, if that's the case, he shouldn't be a 22-1 underdog, man. If he's a Pack You Weather.
He lost his second fight of his career and then reeled off a few wins, got a few draws in there.
He's got a loss to a guy with 9 losses.
He lost to Rob Diesel, 14-9.
Yeah, it's not.
Listen, he's not expected to win. Like, these are some of the longest odds you'll see all year long. Like, in a way, to knock him out in the first 6 rounds is like minus money.
Hey, but also, Naoya doesn't get the unification. We don't get that WBA strap.
Wait, Goodman doesn't have a belt. We said this on the last episode, and we got...
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
I thought he did.
It just was a mandatory.
Ah. So who's got
you still get a good fight. We see Inoue. I will wake up. I will watch this fight. I will be excited because he's number one, number two, number three pound-for-pound fighter in the world. It's going to be a blowout.
So who's got the WBA belt at 22?
I don't know. Don't ask questions that I don't know the answers to. WBA title. We need a chat. List of WBA world champions. What is it? Bantamweight?
22.
Oh, my God.
Is it Nakatani?
I'm on the wrong website.
No.
I don't know who it is.
Who's lighter? No. What am I saying?
I will say this, though. I will get up and I will watch this. Inoue wants to fight 3 times this year, and the Goodman fight was... would have been a nice win, and it would have been him on his way to getting back Fighter of the Year, setting up some of the bigger fights we want to see at bantamweight. Turkey, of course, Naoya Inoue is not part of Riyadh season. He's going to be wearing Riyadh on his trunks. Turkey showed a image of his fight kit, which I don't think anyone really cares about, but it's meaningful because Inoue will fight in Saudi Arabia, I think, and it could be at the end of this year. So if you want to work backwards, so he's going to fight someone at the end of the year. They're talking about Nick Ball. Like, Turkey put out his dream fights this year, and it wasn't Inoue versus Nakatani, which kind of was the plan with Top Rank. It was Inoue versus Nick Ball at 126, which is like nowhere near my wish list or any fan's wish list. It's a business move. Inoue has all the belts.
Where's the WBA?
He's undisputed.
Because they don't have the WBA on the website anymore on BoxRec.
Well, Ring Magazine used to have a great layout in terms of the website, in terms of who's champion, top 10. It's gone now because they have the whole new regime. So I'm on ESPN.
Stupid BoxRec. I give me the wrong information.
Don't go to BoxRec for that. BoxRec is great for records. I'm on ESPN right now. Inoue is the champ. He's got all 4 belts. When he stood next to Kim, that was hilarious. He Inoue has got the all 4 belts, he has to use 2 hands to hold them. And the Kim guy does a little glance over to look at all the belts and then just looked ahead holy shit.
that's a lot of belts.
That's a lot of belts. This guy's really good. I'm probably going to get
but
waxed.
I like what he's saying, he's human, he can lose. I mean, that's
dude, this will be the biggest upset. We want an upset of the year? No, it's not going to happen. It's upset of the last 10 years. It's bigger up. Is that a bigger upset than Andy Ruiz knocking out Joshua? 100%.
Yes, it's definitely.
No one's saying it isn't. I just made that up in my head. This guy coming in with 2 losses, lost his second to last fight. Pacquiao Mayweather knocking out Inoue. I want to read some of the odds that you just.
Pacquiao Mayweather.
Pacquiao Mayweather. What a freaking name. Some of the odds here are absurd. I talked about how he's a 22-1 underdog on some sports books. On DraftKings right now, Inoue is -5,000. So if you want to launder some money, that's the way to go. Kim +1,700. Naoya Inoue by stoppage, -1,600. But that is an absurd number for a stoppage. Not even just win the fight. They are so confident, the books, that Inoue is going to win by stoppage. Inoue by decision is plus money, which is nuts.
That is
draw nuts. Plus 3,000. Kim by not stoppage plus 2,500. I'm probably not gonna touch this fight in terms of betting.
No.
No. Not even at all.
Unless you throw $100 on Naio Inoue rolling his ankle as he steps into the ring.
They don't really have that right now.
Well, you could do Kim by stoppage plus 25. You throw $100 on that. You know, you're basically throwing $100 out, you know, into the trash. But
crazy. I've been doing that lately. I'm on a cold streak. Inoue in rounds 1 through 3 is only plus 100. There's no good odds to this fight. Inoue in rounds 4 through 6 plus 160.
Well, this fight usually supposed to be happening.
Usually those are like plus 800 range when you're getting into like
right
round group betting for rounds. I think where's the 1 through 6? The 1 through 6. Inoue to win in rounds 1 through 6 minus 500. Oh my god. The plus money is the only thing I would maybe touch is Inoue to win around 7 through 12. But if he sees this the 8th round,
yeah, I'd be surprised.
Like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, the guy's never been stopped. He has fought at a higher weight class. I haven't really watched him yet. I'd have to look at him.
I haven't watched him either. No offense to Pacquiao Mayweather.
Well, this really just happened. So
right. If Inoue fights 3 times this year, which I think is the plan, then so be it. If anyone deserves a little bit of this type of fight, it's Inoue. I'm still going to watch. I love the pageantry. I love the just getting up early and doing that, watching, popping on ESPN Plus here in the States, having some coffee and watching one of the best fighters in the world. I hope they have that guy who plays the electric guitar.
Yeah. That guy was awesome.
Cause he gets me going early in the morning.
Yeah. He gets you jacked up early on.
Fired up.
My neighbors don't like that guy because I get really loud. Gets really loud on the TV in the backyard while I'm watching.
Joe Tess, I don't think he's on the call, but I remember one of the bigger Inoue fights. He was texting us super early in the morning with his espresso in the studio.
I think that was a Neri fight.
Yeah. Awesome fight. Which Inoue went down in.
Yes, he did, but that was Neri. This is not
Pacquiao Weather forecast. And finally, one of the bigger fights of the weekend is Diego Pacheco fighting Steven Nelson at 168 pounds. Pacheco is ranked number 1 by the WBO, number 3 by the WBA, number 6 by the IBF. He's got wins last year over Sean McCallman, and then he beat Sulecki, stopped him in 6, which is not easy to do.
Nah, he looked good in that one. Sick body shot.
And he's fighting Steven Nelson, who wants to be more than just friend of Terrence Mayweather. I just said Terrence Mayweather. Because I'm trying to do two things at once right now.
You got Pacquiao Weather, now you got Terrence Weather.
Terrence Mayweather. Terrence Crawford. He's a stablemate of Steven Nelson's and vice versa.
Tough. I got to watch Steve Spar at the top ranked gym last month. Getting ready for this fight when it just got announced. I was like, oh man. But apparently they knew about it for quite some time. They were already in camp. So
I like it. It's, yeah. I'll be watching. It's boxing.
Steve Nelson's one of those guys, man. You can't count him out. This is a totally tough fight because I think Pacheco is the real deal. But he's a grinder, man. He comes in great shape. He's physically strong, cuts a lot of weight. He's big for the weight class. You know, he's not tall, but he's heavy and strong.
Significant fight for Pacheco because I think it's a good step up for him. I think Nelson has maybe a little more left in the tank than Sulecki. Also significant because 168 has Canelo Alvarez, and Canelo Alvarez doesn't have a dance partner for May. Could it be William Skull? I would say Pacheco's on a short list for that opportunity. Would you be shocked if Canelo's fighting Pacheco in May?
I would be. I don't think that's going to happen.
But like, he's on the short list.
Yeah, I mean, if he struggles with Steve Nelson, then yeah, he'll go up the ladder in terms of getting the shot.
Crazy,
but dude, he's just physically really difficult guy to deal with. He's tall, he's long, he's young, he's hungry, he's got quick hands, he's got good power. It's a lot of positives in on his side for Canelo to take that risky fight,
especially with Crawford looming in September. Right.
Yeah, I think that's, you're better off getting Pacheco now than later, but also, like you said, you don't want to risk if you've got a Crawford fight on the docket for September. That's why I don't know that I'm not expecting much from the Canelo's choice of opponents in May.
Yeah. A lot of this skull guy who's got the belt, the one with IBF, is kind of the hunted right now. Berlanga tweeted, "I want skull. I want to knock skull out. I want that IBF belt." He's poised to come back in early March, not fighting skull Berlanga. He's going to have a comeback fight. I can see Pacheco Berlanga one day down the road would be really fun. But point being, this is like a fight that's going to be a springboard for Pacheco because he's just highly ranked in all these organizations. And you got Canelo.
I'm very high on Pacheco. I think Pacheco's very good.
No, I mean, I was super impressed with that win over Salucky. Like, because he had that, he had not a great, some iffy performances before that. And like, well, he's kind of doing his thing.
With McCallman, which I predicted, because we had him on our air I'm sorry, where did I call him? I think it was actually OTX where I got to see McCallman operate. And he's a technician. He's very, very smart. He doesn't take risks. He's a difficult guy to deal with and a very, very difficult guy to look good against. And he's a very good athlete. So I wasn't that surprised that he struggled with him, but he did look human for the first time. I think everybody just jumped on that.
Yeah. That is the main event over on DAZN in Las Vegas. Our guy, Justin Shackle, will be part of the call. Just wanted to give him a shout out. Love that kid.
Shackman. That's it.
Love that guy. He's not a kid. He's like great. My age. He looks like a kid. Andy Cruz fighting at a 10 rounder. Remember him? Got no buzz.
Love him.
Really good.
We got buzz on our show.
He's Salcido.
Omar Salcido is a Pro Box alum as well. He just had a big win. He knocked out Chris Colbert in his last show.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
We had him. He actually took a loss on our air the fight prior. Just got kind of outmaneuvered, but found a new team and he. You know, he's tough, he's rough, but man, Andy Cruz is special.
Yeah, he's different. He's different. I hope, like, I heard that Keyshawn Davis, a friend of the show, is going to be in attendance, obviously because Steven Nelson is in the same camp as Keyshawn. They're camp mates, is that the term? Stable mates. And so we'll have Andy Cruz in the same building, same room as Keyshawn Davis, his Olympic rival.
Calling Davis out for a while, hasn't he?
I'll tell you what, man. Cruz is really good, but there's nothing around, like no buzz around him. Like Keyshawn is way ahead of him in the pro ranks.
Oh yeah,
and
but I think
I'm not saying that he's any better.
I think they have beef from the amateurs, no?
Did they fought in the Olympics?
Yeah, Andy beat him. No.
Yeah, Andy's a two-time gold medalist.
So Andy was saying he was like, yeah, I whipped you in the amateurs, I whipped you in the pros. I mean, he should really go off that, to get something going, but yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a buzz. He has no profile, but he's damn good.
Matchroom, if smart, they are smart. They're one of the best promoters in the game. They'll do something with the two of them. Like Keyshawn's game for it, as you saw in our interview last week. He's just he's playing the game right now. So maybe they have a face to face. Maybe they have something. I don't know. That's a very small part of the night. But Cruz is fighting in the co-main. Ernesto Mercado making his matchroom debut, fighting Jose Pedraza.
I like rounds. Ernesto Mercado.
He got screwed in his last fight.
That's a good step up.
His opponent came in like 8 pounds over in his last fight. Yeah. And I felt bad for him. Pedraza won't do that. He's a pro. Harley Medeiros also on this card in Las Vegas. Dalton Smith is fighting over in England, who is a 140-pounder with some buzz to his name. I think there's like 10 hours of boxing straight on the zone on Saturday from Nottingham, England, straight into Vegas. Cool. And then in LA on Friday. And then got Plant City Pro Box on, what is that, Friday?
What's the date on that one?
January 24th.
That's
Najee Lopez.
It's in 2 days. Yeah. No, that's Friday.
Yeah, there's a lot of boxing this weekend. So I hope everyone has a great time.
My brain
watching.
Is scrambled with all the pro box shows. We have so.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
but
you're like, it's like 2 days away. I hope you're getting ready for that.
Yeah, I'm driving over there later. Actually, tomorrow.
Feel you. Nice. All right. Hope everyone enjoys the weekend. There are a lot of fights here. You know, if you're going to bet, don't bet over your head. Bet with your head. And enjoy the weekend of fights. Should be a good weekend. Next week, we will be in full-fledged Benavidez Morel mode. I'll be giving away some free pay-per-views on the next episode of this show.
Oh, Dan is feeling fun, feeling ready, feeling generous.
That's PPV.com. They're the ones that are generous. They like to give away pay-per-views. I think we're going to give away 5. We'll start on Monday's episode, with pay-per-view number 1. Anything else, Chris, before we say goodbye?
No, man. I'm freezing it down here, too. I need to go put on a hoodie.
It's cold. Everyone, enjoy the weekend. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.